So let's go on to the second verse. The first line of which is, I will follow, I will follow. That is to say, I will follow those footprints. I will follow them wherever they lead. We don't always realize at first, when we start following the footprints, just where they will lead. We go along perhaps to a meditation class or the Buddhist center in all innocence. We don't know where it's going to lead. But if we look back, 10, 15, 20 years later, we can see very well that, in retrospect, just, what we were letting ourselves in for. But we very rarely know it. In fact, we can't know it, in a sense, at the time. So it's not enough simply to admire those shining footprints. It's not enough to admire the flowers that spring up, where those footprints have fallen. In other words, aestheticism is not enough. It's not enough just to feed in a sort of aesthetic or pseudo-aesthetic way on the beauty of those footprints. Years ago, in the very early days of the FWBO, people used to be very fond of reading the songs of Milarepa. They loved the asceticism. They loved the idea of Milarepa sitting there in the snows and meditating day and night. Day and night. And they loved those wonderful songs, that wonderful poetic imagery. So they'd sit, so many people in those days in their armchairs, reading the songs of Milarepa, reaching out every now and then to take a chocolate from a box and munching it. So that's the sort of thing I have in mind. We can read and enjoy, books on Buddhism. We can read and enjoy the scriptures, but only too often it's just a sort of aesthetic appreciation. It's not a real acceptance of their significance. So we have actually to follow those footprints, not just to stand there looking down at them. What beautiful footprints, especially the Buddhas, all sorts of wonderful, beautiful marks, and quite golden ones even. But that's not enough. We have actually to follow the footprints and go wherever they lead. We have, in other words, to commit ourselves to following the path shown by the Buddha. And you'll have probably noticed that in that first line, I will follow is repeated not once but twice. I think if the exigencies of meter and rhyme had permitted, I would have repeated it three times for obvious reasons. But I will follow, I will follow. The repetition expresses a sense of the urgency and determination of the commitment that is involved. It's equivalent to saying Bhutang Saranang Gacchami. It's equivalent to going for refuge to the Buddha. Equivalent to effective and eventually real going for refuge. There are other points to notice in this verse. I say, for instance, that I will follow those shining footprints neath the spring moon, full and bright. The full moon here symbolizes the ideal of human enlightenment. It symbolizes our as yet unrealized potential. The potential that will be actualized when we reach the end of the trail, when we reach that last footprint and gaze up, we can soar up into the blue and become ourselves enlightened. I'm not sure why I spoke in the poem of the spring full moon. Possibly it's because spring is associated with new life, with the rebirth of nature. And when we start following the Buddha's footprints, when we go for refuge to him, we begin a new life. We're spiritually reborn. The poem goes on to say that I will follow those footprints of delight through field and copse and hollow. What does this mean? It means that we will follow the path shown by the Buddha through all the vicissitudes of life. Follow in youth and in age. Follow regardless of changes in our external circumstances, in our fortunes. Follow regardless of our particular lifestyle. Follow in health and in sickness, in happiness and in sorrow, in life and in death. In other words, we will follow that path to the end. We'll follow it up into those distant hills, up the mountainside. Follow it to the top of Adam's Peak. Just notice the adjectives that I attach to the footprints in this verse. They're not just shining footprints, they're also footprints of delight. The two epithets are, of course, connected. What is bright and shining gives delight. Beautiful colours give delight, whether in nature or in art. One of the Pali and Sanskrit words for delight is rati, R-A-T-I. And thus the Dhammapada says, sabbang ratting dhamma rati jinati. Delight in the Dhamma surpasses all delights. We delight in the Dhamma when we study, understand, and practice it. The Buddha's footprints are footprints of delight when we actually follow them. This doesn't, of course, mean that we will always have an easy time. There will sometimes be difficulties. But to the extent that we practice the Dharma, even in the midst of those difficulties, we will experience delight. So let me read that second verse just once again. I will follow. Neath the spring moon full and bright, through field and copse and hollow, those footprints of delight, and walk upon those distant hills, one dawn all golden white. So far, the Buddha of the poem has been a legendary Buddha, even a mythical Buddha, perhaps I could even say a metaphorical Buddha. But with verse 3, we come to the historical Buddha, Shakyamuni. The Buddha lived a long time ago, 2,500 years ago. And since then, humanity has passed through some very dark times.